This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're recovering well from the huge dose of Winks fever we all got yesterday. What an incredible moment in Australian history we witnessed, with the champion mare bowing out at her finale, a winner in the $4 million Queen Elizabeth Stakes. The fairy tale went to script, and the world breathed a sigh of relief. Nobody could spoil the party at Randwick yesterday. Winks closes out her career with a record of 37 wins and 3 seconds from 43 starts, with earnings of just over a mind-boggling $26 million. Yesterday, it was a world record 25th Group 1 win for Winks.
And Winks is rounding them up, coming right around the field. Kluger takes an inside run. She's gone for home already, Winks. She beats off Hartnell. Kluger going up the inside. Happy Clubber can't go on. Winks is 2 lengths clear. Kluger sticks on. Then came Hartnell, but she's well clear, Winks, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Winks wins a third. Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger. Hartnell third, Happy Clapper fourth.
It was another amazing performance by the champion mare Winks yesterday to close out her career on a winning note, much to the joy of the entire nation and her band of owners, including Peter Tighe, who's been generous enough to share the journey right throughout with us on this program. And he's kind enough to have woken up early this morning to have a chat with us. How are you today, Peter?
Oh, Joe. Probably say a bit dusty, but very happy and, very contented with the way things went yesterday.
I bet. What a huge relief, firstly, it must have been to see her get around safely and to finish on the winning note that she did amidst what was such an amazing atmosphere at Randwick, a complete sea of blue and white and so many adoring fans that just gravitated to the course to be there and be part of history.
Yeah, it sure was one of those days to be there. Like, there were so many people and it was a fun day, you know. There wasn't a sad face in the house. Everybody was there to enjoy themselves, enjoy the day. The gods turned the weather on for the ATC, and it just couldn't have worked out any more perfectly. So it's not often in life that these things, you know, happen exactly the way you want them or you dream about. And to go out the befitting way that Winks did yesterday was just an absolute tribute.
How did the feeling leading up to yesterday's race feel in comparison to the many other times you've gone to the track to watch her?
Oh, you know, it's a special day. I mean, it was a huge build-up. We'd organised, you know, like this would be her last campaign. So, you know, it had been in our thoughts for the last 2 or 3 months that we would be having one final hurrah if we could get her there. And, you know, that's the secret of getting it, of doing everything, is just making sure that she could come through the program unscathed and get to the final race. But, yeah, look, it was just a build-up of different thoughts and what it's going to be like going forward. But look, there's not a bad thought in my head about what we've done and how it's worked out. So it wasn't crushing or it wasn't a bad thing. It was just having a roller coaster of emotions over the last few months.
It was interesting watching the various people in the crowd yesterday shortly before the gates opened, and I think Deb Kapitis probably summed it up very well herself with the emotion on her face before the race. The reality of the fact that it was all coming to an end was very evident, and you could see her holding back the tears before the gates even flew open.
Oh, absolutely. I won't deny, we had a few tears, you know, post-race and at home, and just, you know, a quiet moment of reflecting on what had happened and what has happened over the last 4 years. So, it was truly, you know, really good, truly, you know, great feelings to have, but just tinged with a bit of sadness because we knew we wouldn't be going through this process again with her, and that sort of thing. But, you know, grateful in what we've got, and, you know, grateful in what she's done. So, not only the owners, the trainer, the jockey, but, you know, the Australian people and the racing crowds here and around the world. She's just galvanised, you know, racing. She's put it on the front page. She's done everything that we want in racing as a racing fanatic that I am.
And as far as legend status goes, Peter, she transcends everything. She's more than an Australian sporting legend and racing legend. She is an Australian legend, especially after yesterday.
Oh, I think that goes without saying, Jay, that, you know, anybody that questions the greatness of her, it's probably good debate, and it will be well debated over many years, but you'd have to wonder how you could ever sit there and say that there was a better horse or a better performed horse or you know, the records that she broke. And, you know, in modern day racing, you know, the competition is a hell of a lot more stronger than in days gone by, and horses are prepared better and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, if you're a horse owner and you're lucky enough to win two or three races in a row, you probably think that, well, we would even think that, you know, like it was the best thing in the world. So if you put that in comparison to, you know, two or three or four in a row, and there's a horse that won 33 in a row, it's very hard to imagine that you could do that.
And what she's done for the sport now, but also going into the long term, is almost immeasurable. But I think it was summed up for me very much just on the sheer expression on the face of a young boy yesterday who was dressed in the Winx colours and silks like a little jockey. But he burst into tears after she won yesterday. The look on that kid's face will stay with me forever. And I would dare say, Peter, he's pretty hooked on racing now.
Well, you know, we've, as racing people, we've certainly got the desired result. We've put something out there for the next couple of generations to have a look at and think about this sport as something going forward. And everybody can be a participant. I mean, you can be 4 or 5 years old, you can be 90 to 100. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's a great sport to get into, but you know, we along our journey met so many people, like the young, the old, you know, people that are ill, people that are less fortunate, and it just brings home that, you know, racing is something that everybody can enjoy and marvel at the feats of the animals. And you know, it's hard to find anybody that doesn't like a horse. You know, they're such a majestic creature, and you know, they're to be marvelled at. And when you put it all together, you know, great tracks, great facilities, great racing, and a huge crowd. You know, it's just a marvellous thing. And yeah, we hope that we've encouraged the next generation to come and join our sport.
And Peter, they were such unforgettable scenes as Hugh Bowman steered her back to scale. There were people lined up on the roadside, along the track, peering through the fence at the pair of them, which I've never seen, not in this modern era of racing at Randwick. And the complete ovation of the crowd as he got closer to the grandstand, and the roar, the noise, just amazing. It must have been incredible to be there, part of that, and to have quite literally the interest in the horse that you do, and to feel a sense of achievement, I suppose, that you have presented Australia with a complete blessing.
Oh, look, it's a great effort from, you know, a great team effort from everybody that's involved, you know, right down the chain of command at Waller's, you know, to the Bowmans. It's just, you know, we take it in. It was, you know, we stood at the front, you know, against the rail to watch the race, and to turn around and just see the crowd, you know, 42,000 people cheering her on the track, cheering her whatever she did, and then we turned around to watch the race, and one of the guys that was standing beside us said, "Oh, have a look at the road, you know, the street, the fence on the outside of the track. That, you know, that there's it's a long fence all the way around, you know, the back of the Randwick track, and there was people everywhere." So testimony that, you know, people will remember this day for the rest of their lives, and, you know, what Winx has done for, well, you know, hopefully to galvanise Australia, and, you know, just a feel-good day that everybody can talk about.
And what a magnificent partnership Hugh and the mayor are together.
Well, just some things in life are just meant to be, and, you know, that pairing there started off just as a jockey riding a horse on a normal part of their routine, and it grew into, it will be folklore and tradition and spoken about forever, Winx and Bowman, and just something that's just got better and better. So you know, huge affinity with you know, with animals and the horses, and then especially Winks. So yeah, no, he did his job in tradesmanlike style, and I think he enjoyed every minute of it. And you know, when someone's doing something that they really love doing, sports and things like that, it just comes out in them that the great efforts that he put in, is he was enjoying it that much, and really she allowed Hugh to demonstrate how good a horseman he was.
Mm. And after the race, when he dismounted, he went to give her a kiss on the nose, and she flicked her head up in the air and knocked him on the lip and split his lip open. Poor thing, he was doing national television interviews, dabbing the blood on the lip. It must have been quite sore, I'd imagine, too. But he soldiered on in his true Hugh Bowman style.
Oh, he did. He ended up getting three or four stitches in it later, so it was a pretty good whack on the lip. It swelled up, and I was with him later in the night, and he was still dabbing the blood off it. It wouldn't stop bleeding. So, but I think he would not worry about the hit on the lip, and I think he'd be more worried that he did get a kiss on Winks. And she was just doing what she does, just keeps moving all the time. Just having to clip him.
She's a character, isn't she? And gave everybody a few heart flutters during the week at early morning track work out at Rose Hill when she was feeling a bit fresh and kicked out at the fence.
Oh, yeah. No, she... it sort of brought things home that things can turn around pretty quickly with when you've got horses or livestock. But, everything was going well. She'd done a track work, and there was just this mass of cameras and people, and I think there was 14... camera crews out there from all around the world, and Chris wanting to do the right thing by everybody, when he got it back in the yard, he pulled her earmuffs off. And the moment that he pulled the earmuffs off, all the cameras went off, the lights went, and she just lashed out, took a bit of fright, that was all. But luckily, no damage done to anybody standing nearby, and certainly no damage done to her.
Mm. And Chris Waller, and the way that he's managed this mare, beyond being a racehorse, he's had to manage an international superstar with a huge image and demands of media and public, which would have been constant, more than we could ever probably even know or imagine. He's remained calm right throughout and so professional and been generous in sharing the journey with us.
Oh, look, he has. I mean, last night, you know, we went and had a bit of a celebration, and I can tell you that Chris Waller was the most relaxed I've seen him in the last 4 years. He was just enjoying himself, having a chat with everybody, just a quiet drink. And, he would be the first one to tell you that the pressure was on all the time, 24-7. And, he never really got a day off. Even when the horse was spelling, there was everybody wanting to know what she was going to do next and where she was going and how she was going. And he copped it there. And, like, she's one of... probably 200 horses he's got in work, so he had to put up the pressure of a multitude of owners of other horses and then try to look after this one special girl. But we couldn't have been any happier, as owners, that we had the best team to look after this horse, and they got the best out of her, and Chris is the captain of that team, and by golly, he knows how to run his business.
And a huge amount of credit should go to her regular handlers too, Candace and Umut. The rapport between her and those strappers is quite significant because she can be a tricky horse. They've done such a good job.
Oh, they have. I mean, their dedication to her is another reason that she's so good. I mean, Umut's basically lived with her for so long. He's travelled with her when she went to Melbourne, Chris made sure that he was hands-on with her at all times and allowed him to spend a lot of time, not just in the morning and the afternoon, but he went with her during the night, so they watched her and kept her happy, and he was such a big part of it, and someone who didn't get a hell of a lot of accolades. You only see him on race day, but him and Candace they've done a job that we can never really thank them for enough. And we just hope that they they've enjoyed it in their own ways as much as we have, but they're certainly right up there as part of the Winks team.
Mm. So you all wake up this morning, as we all do, having to face into the fact that the racing journey of Winks is over. But it's probably not the empty void that many people might think it is, because this story is going to continue on and on, because now she'll have a career as a brood mare, and there's no doubt you as owners will be doing the speaking circuit, I dare say, for a long time to come.
Look, the only thing certain about that is Winks becoming a mum, but I don't know about the speaking circuit. But look, it's lovely to just move into that next phase of Winx's life. I mean, we just really couldn't race her on, because we'd be eating into the next career. I mean, for her to be a good mum, she's got to do it while she's still in, and she's still healthy and well. So for her to go to the breeding barn and become a mum, and you know, it's something that we're going to really look forward to, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to follow the journey of Winx and her sons and daughters and what happens to them and how they go along. So it is something that's just going to continue on for many, many years to come.
And one of the most anticipated announcements as we approach the breeding season for 2019 will be, who will she be mated to? That was already a burning question yesterday. People were probably driving you mad asking, Peter.
Yeah, they have, but we purposely haven't met, we haven't discussed it as an ownership group or with Chris or Hugh or Guy Mulcaster, our bloodstock agent. We just haven't discussed it because we just wanted to put all of our energies into yesterday and enjoy it. So we weren't worrying who was going to be the next or going to be the suitor for her, or you know, where she's going to live and all those sort of questions. It'll find its level very quickly, and we'll give her a time to have a bit of a rest, and then we'll look at the pros and cons of who we think will be the best sire for her, and then we'll go forward from there. But this, we've given ourselves plenty of time to do all that sort of thing, so we'll keep everybody waiting a little bit longer, but I'm sure there'll be an announcement, you know, in the next few weeks or month or so, and we'll let everybody know. There'll be no problem there.
And that's what has been so wonderful about this journey. None of us have ever been kept in the dark right along the path. Peter, there's been so many amazing moments with Winks, so many wins, quite literally. Is there a moment that really stands out for you as an experience, or is it too early? Are you waiting for the dust to settle to properly reflect on that?
Yeah, I think that would be a bit unfair at the moment to say one was better than the other. I mean, you know, I've said many times, you know, we thought, you know, when you win an Epsom, you know, your life's been fulfilled, and when you win a Cox Plate, you think, well, now it's been fulfilled. So we went from level to level, and each one was a bigger and bigger race and a bigger event, which we were just going from one to another. But there's so many fond memories along the track, and so many people that we've met, and, you know, like, it's just some days are very special because of probably somebody we meet more than the race you won. So, you know, it's just been such a long journey, and probably by about December this year, we'll have taken it all in, and we'll be sitting back watching, you know, the replays, the fond memories, and been able to have a good old chat about things, and we'll work all that out as we go along, Joe.
And has it changed you and your life in a significant way? I mean, you're a very level person, Peter, and to my eye and experience, you've never changed. The success has never affected you in any strange way. But for you, deeply and personally, how much has this all changed your life and that of your family?
Well, we get a lot more phone calls from the media. I don't want to change. I was happy being the bloke I was. So I have a lot of friends around me, and I'm sure that if I would have changed, they would have been the first ones to let me know. So we just enjoyed the journey, and Winks has done everything for us. We haven't done too much. So it would be unfair to Winks if we thought we were the bigger part of the story. So no, we'll just go on. We'll continue to enjoy our racing. We know we want to just, you know, probably be back there next Saturday with some other horses that we're racing. And the reason we're in racing is to enjoy it. I'm not a golfer. I'm not a fisherman. I don't do that sort of thing. But I love the racing. So, you know, it's not very often that you can, you know, I suppose if I was a fisherman, I'd have to catch the biggest fish in the world to get the notoriety that I've got racing Winks. But it's all good. And, we just want to We just want to be the same people we were coming in as we are going out.
Mm. Peter, thank you for talking to us this morning in the wake of a huge day yesterday for reasons of emotion and lots of other things as well, a closure point in your lives with Winks and for all of us too. Thanks for the memories and for producing such a wonderful mare that is now part of Australian history beyond just sport and racing.
Well, Joe, thanks for having me on your show. And I can just one last time thank everybody, from those little kids that turned up in their outfits, to people that couldn't get to the track, and they've watched it all around Australia, around the world, and we hope that she's given them everybody as good a time as what we've had, and that they'll cherish the memories as much as we do.
Mm. Peter, you go and enjoy a nice long Sunday lunch and start to reflect on these moments, because it will take a while probably. It's still surreal for many of us what she's achieved, and it will be, I'm sure, for you for some time yet.
Absolutely, Joe, and thanks very much.
That's Peter Tighe, part owner of the legend Winks, retiring yesterday on a winning note at Randwick.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Quillista's well clear at the 600 metres. White Moss goes to second. Then came Arathia. Five further back to Savatiano. Three off to Resina. Then Zumbalina and Egyptian Symbol heads the rest. Will history repeat itself? Quillista two in front. White Moss revved up, giving serious chase. Quillista being tackled by White Moss. And White Moss storms to the front. Two clear from Arathia. Then Savatiano. Resina and Winterbride, the far side, closing up. White Moss two in front from Arathia, who's cutting back the margin. White Moss in front from Arathia. White Moss wins the last, beat Arathia.
The grey Mossman mare White Moss is a horse starting to develop a keen following in Australian racing at the moment, and she was successful yesterday in the Group 2 Sapphire Stakes over 1200 metres at Randwick, ridden by Cathy O'Hara. She's a high-quality mare, and she is raced by a well-known family in Sydney, a homebred for Michelle Esplin and her children Hamish, Patrick and Elise. White Moss is out of the Group 2 winning dam Pay My Bail, who was a $240,000 buy for the late Philip Esplin at the 2007 Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale. A half-sister to listed winner White Sage by Reset, White Moss is one of six winners out of Pay My Bail, which died in February 2017 after being covered by Done Deal the previous spring. The Esplins still own White Sage, which has a two-year-old filly by Charge Forward, a yearling filly by More Than Ready, and a filly foal by Animal Kingdom. She was covered last year by Ribchester.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses racing run through.
Day two of the championships in Sydney yesterday, and we opened the program with the Kings of Sydney Sport Mile, a listed race won by Power Scheme. Two-year-old colt by Fiorente out of an Incosta de Lago mare, Rosa Pilato. Power Scheme is related to a winner, Hawkshot. Race two at Randwick yesterday was the listed South Pacific Classic, run over 1,400 metres. The winner was Fasica from the Joseph Pride team, a three-year-old filly by So You Think out of a Redoute's Choice mare, Girada. Fasica is related to winners Absolute Excellentia, Elusive State and Jasper's Magic, and was bought for $120,000 out of Session 2 of the English Australian Easter Yearling Sales in 2017. Race 3 was the Provincial Championships final over 1,400 metres, and success went to Bobbing, a five-year-old gelding by Beneteau out of a Dahir mare, My Dear. Bobbing is related to a winner, My Richard. The Group 2 Percy Sykes Stakes over 1,200 metres was won by Anaheed. It was a great finish with Flit closing fast, but Anaheed held on. From the Snowden team, a two-year-old filly by Fastnet Rock out of a Testa Rossa mare, Ross Dover. I think Flit, though, is one to follow out of the race. The Group 2 Arrowfield three-year-old sprint run over 1,200 metres, and this was a very good win by Classique Legend, a three-year-old gelding by Not a Single Doubt out of an Incosta de Lago mare, Pinocchio. Cosique Legend is related to a winner, Puppet Master, and was bought for $400,000 by Carmel Size at the 2017 Inglis Classic Yearling Sale. The Group 1 Australian Oaks, over 2,400 metres, and the New Zealand superstar Very Elegant could not have been more impressive. She was dominant winning, this daughter of Zed, out of a Dan Road mare, Opulence. Very Elegant is related to winners Black Lace and Very Flash, and has come along at an ideal time for Chris Waller, looking for a suitable replacement for his champion mare, Winx. The Group 1 Queen Elizabeth Stakes over 2,000 metres, and of course it went to Winx from the Waller team, the 7-year-old mare by Street Cry. Out of Val Akbar's daughter, Vegas Showgirl, Winx was a $230,000 purchase at the 2013 Magic Millions Gold Coast Yearling Sales. The Group 1 Sydney Cup over 3,200 metres, and victory went to Shraro, a 6-year-old gelding by Cedar Stars, out of a Monsun mare, Jumu. Shraro was purchased by Australian Bloodstock from the Northern Hemisphere. The Group 1 Queen of the Turf ran over a mile, and it was Kanedna who was successful. A great story there. A 5-year-old mare by Not a Single Doubt, out of a Falbrav mare, Miss Dodwell. And she brought up the first Group 1 win for Kieran Ma and David Eustace since they joined up in partnership. The Group 2 Sapphire Stakes over 1,200 metres, the last race on day two of the championships, won impressively by White Moss from the Jason Coyle team. White Moss is racing in great style at the moment. She's a 5-year-old mare by Mossman, out of a Justice Prevails mare, Pay My Bail, and is related to winners Bail Up, Ivory Jane, Runway, Runaway, Stellarized, and White Sage. There's no doubt about Australian Bloodstock when it comes to feature staying races in Australia, and they won the Sydney Cup with a son of See the Stars with a tricky name to pronounce, Shraro. Jamie Lovett from Australian Bloodstock joining us on Talking Horses. Congratulations, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
You've had some luck in these races now over the years with horses you've sourced from the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, and no, I was very fortunate with this horse, Joe, because he sort of come here as a horse that had a very low benchmark in the spring. And Chris Waller, after he won that race on Melbourne Cup Day, he sort of set him to this race. It's been a plan that's come off, and yeah, big thrill.
Take us back to the process of obtaining him.
Oh, look, he came out of a couple of nice races in the UK, and we're very fortunate. One of the guys that I guess we respect his opinion, he sort of said to me, I think he could be a horse. He's not a Melbourne Cup horse, so he might be a nice staying horse. But obviously you don't buy them thinking that they can win the majors. He just kept improving, and as you saw this campaign, every race sort of, without winning, he just kept improving.
Mm. Well, you mentioned his career back in the Northern Hemisphere. He won two of his 12 starts in England and then had that first up win over 2,800 metres at Flemington on Melbourne Cup Day, which you've referenced. So that day you would have felt very comfortable with your decision to get the horse and bring him to Australia?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I mean, that day, I guess from our point of view, bringing owners into horses, in many ways the job was done. It was a big thrill to win. As you know, anyone that races horses that ever went on Melbourne Cup Day, it was pretty much ticked all the boxes. But obviously, Chris Waller thought a little bit of the horse after he won it, and he said to us he could be a Sydney Cup horse. And yeah, as of now, he's a Sydney Cup winner.
Mm. And beaten a handy field this year too.
I thought it was a very good race. I mean, if you look at like Charlie Appleby's horse, there was a good sort of good spruik coming into the race, and a couple of our other runners, they're coming off very good preparations, and the form around them was good. So, like any of these Group 1s, they're very hard to win.
Mm, they sure are. So the Melbourne Cup would be an obvious target this spring. What else is the likely plan at this point in time with the horse, or is it too early to say?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I mean, he's obviously winning today would put him into a Melbourne Cup. Whether he's up to a race like that would be problematic, but I guess Chris Waller will make that decision, but I would suggest that would be race in the spring.
Mm. How many feature races like this have your team or horses carrying your colours now won, Jamie?
Oh, I'm not sure, Joe, but every time you win them, you get a buzz.
Yeah, I bet you do. And recently you had Brave Smash campaigning in Dubai. He didn't run up to expectation. What's been the latest with him?
Yeah, no, look, obviously it was disappointing. He didn't run up to expectation, but it was a bit, look, we had a really good time. But it was an experience, and I guess, like all that, when you take horses abroad, you've got to have a very good horse. And we thought at the time he was probably the right horse, but in hindsight, he's probably come to the end of his preparation. So Aquas have now retired the horse, and his future's at stud.
Mm. So he'll join their roster in Queensland or New South Wales?
No, as I understand it, Joe, he'll stand at Emirates Park in the Hunter Valley. So
right.
He'll get very good support with Glenn Logan. A lot of our connections, they breed horses, so he'll get very good support.
Yeah, I'm sure. And what else is making news in your world? Are there any other horses we're likely to see you present here in Australia in the coming months as we head into the spring? Any other nice stayers in the making?
Oh, we have horses, Joe, that have sort of come here with a low benchmark. So I guess they're not exposed, but probably our big gun, if you like, got a horse in Germany with Andreas Wallet, horse at all, which you know well. He's in. Obviously in training at the moment, so his goal will be the Melbourne Cup in the spring.
Okay, and all reports they're good at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be happy.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the celebrations of winning the Sydney Cup, and we look forward to seeing what Schraro can come out and do a bit later in the year around the Melbourne Cup, a race which you've had the privilege of winning, of course. And just before we close the interview, your thoughts on Winks, Jamie, as someone so heavily involved in Australian racing. An incredible performance, wasn't it, to win yesterday?
Yeah, look, I think it's all been said, but it was absolutely just a thrill to be there and witness it, Joe. To look down at the... I've been going to Rim since I was a boy, and to be there and see 50,000 people, it's just amazing. And what she's done for racing in Australia is just amazing. And see a guy like Hugh Bowman, who... I don't think I've ever seen him get a little bit teary walking back. He had a little tear. It's just one of those special moments in racing.
Absolutely. All right, thanks for joining us, Jamie.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Jamie Lovett from Australian Bloodstock. Their colours carried to victory yesterday in the Group 1 $2 million Sydney Cup. It was an amazing day last Saturday for owner Rupert Lee, winning two Group 1s in less than an hour. Not a bad afternoon's work at the racetrack. Rupert, congratulations on your success last Saturday. Has it all hit home yet?
Well, it does. You can never, ever imagine winning two Group 1s in 40 minutes. Not in your wildest dreams. And when you do it, it's one of those feelings that if it's a bottle that you would, it'd be worth a fortune. Just a special occasion when you're going to have one Group 1 and you're about to venture into another one, but to win it was, you know, quite an incredible feeling. But as I said before to a lot of people, unfortunately, this industry has more downs than ups. And whilst you're still enjoying the ups, we have all the downs that come with it when you have a lot of horses. And we actually lost a very good arm of Vintable Colt that same day. We've been grooming for a good three-year-old career, and then we had a nice Schnitzel filly and did a suspensory ligament on the Saturday of our track gallop, and then another one of our three-year-old colts got a bad cut on his passing, so he's out until the spring. And then one of our other horses that we're preparing for the carnival up in Queensland, we needed a run, and unfortunately it injected the wrong horse and had to be our horse that didn't need the injection through antibiotics, and he was unable to run on Saturday at Caulfield. So you do have your ups, and when you have them, by God, you just can make the most of them and you know, really enjoy it.
Santa Ana Lane and Brutal are the two horses we're obviously talking about. Brutal in particular winning the Doncaster. He's a very, very valuable breeding prospect, this horse. So there was some discussion through the week about potentially where he might end up longer term at stud. Has any of that conversation continued on, Rupert?
Oh, yeah, it has. I mean, it basically started on Saturday evening at the Star Casino, where a number of the starts sat down with us. We've had quite a few proposals put to us since Saturday evening and went through to the end of business on Friday. So, we're more likely to make a decision on that and go down the path of, you know, selling down part of it to one of the major studs and, hopefully work together and build some more value into the horse, because no intention at the studs to retire the horse. I think he's only really just started his journey and, we're looking forward to heading off to the spring with him and hopefully competing in the Golden Eagle at Rose Hill.
Well, that's exactly right. There's still so much of his racing journey ahead. He's only had the 7 starts for now, 4 wins, so much ahead there, which is exciting. And what's the latest with Santa Ana Lane?
Turned out very, very well. At this stage, it's all systems go to Hong Kong. Excuse me. And then I think if all goes well in Hong Kong, there's a recharge. Could go to Ascot. And it's one of those interesting ones because being a gelding, there's no the surprise money at Ascot isn't anywhere near as good as if you were trying to, say, head off to the Everest in October. But I'm sure, Anthony and the managers of the horse will make the right call. And I think it's more too because there are so many owners on the horse. I think it's more about having fun together. And, if we all get across to Ascot, it'll be just one of those incredible experiences to have a horse running on such a big day in their biggest meeting in the year. So I'd say there's more chance of that happening than not happening by what I've been told.
Well, that's very exciting. And Rupert, what's the latest with Chautauqua, who's been retired from the scene for a little while now? Where's he these days?
He's in the same paddock that you went up to see him. And actually, we've only just made that call, really, to determine what we should be doing. And we'll be looking for people like yourself to help us, guide us down the right path for his next career. So it's more likely that he'll go down the show jumping or show horse path. He's still got too much to offer, being such a young horse. And I think it would be great for the industry, for his supporters, to see him in his next journey, I suppose. It's a path I don't know enough about as far as that industry, so people like yourself can help guide us and so we make the right decision for him.
Yeah, there's no question he's got a very bright future ahead in either of those spheres, showing or show jumping. He's a magnificent looking horse and he would stand out in any show ring around Australia, and I'm sure you've had many people approach you in a bid to get him for that purpose.
Yeah, no, but we have, Joe, and, it's important that we make the right call for the horse, and I'm sure there are many number of good people who would do the right thing and look after him. So, it's in the future, someone is there, and looking forward to joining up and forming a partnership with the people who do take him to his next career. So, hopefully you can help me go down that path and choose the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rupert, your feelings around Winks yesterday, for all of us, just an incredible moment to witness. But from your point of view, what were your thoughts?
We had to be there and we wanted to be there. It was just, anyone who was there, you'll get the same feeling. You didn't want to see the end of it and you wanted to see her continue racing. I mean, she presented, for some reason, I think she knew she was bowing out. She actually did a little bit of a bow to the crowd, when they brought it back to scale, and just the atmosphere, it was nerve-tingling, really, just to be part of the whole thing. And I'm glad I witnessed it all, because it's one of those memories you'll cherish and, be able to, take to, to the early of life and be able to share the memories with my grandchildren and hopefully their children. But, you had to be there. It's just one of those special occasions, and I'm sure anybody who went to the track yesterday would have felt the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. Rupert, thanks for talking to us on the program this morning. Good luck with Brutal and Santa Ana Lane in particular over the next few months with the decisions and the campaigns there. And we look forward to seeing what he's really made of come the springtime.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
That's Rupert Lee. He's hot off the back of two Group 1 wins last Saturday on day one of the championships at Randwick. An amazing day at the races. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program and the great moment yesterday at Randwick. We thank Winx for the many, many great memories. And there'll be more to come as she produces, hopefully, a champion of her own. Until next week, take care. Bye for now.